Morning, people of God. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is again a privilege for me to be with you and share fellowship with you around God's Word. Thank you again that we can continue in the book of Joshua, and we have learned much from this book already, and we pray that the Lord will use me again to preach this particular message from a very hard passage in Joshua. But before we continue, let me pray with you, please. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and come before your throne in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and He is our Savior. And we live for Him. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we know, salvation that you have for us through Him. And that now we are your people too. We pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would bless your people. We are going through hard times. And we pray, Lord, that in these tough times, we will know the strength that you provide. We pray in the name of Jesus for those who are struggling with work or with income or with whatever the problem might be presented because of COVID-19. We pray, dear God, that you will come to the rescue of your people. Help us to trust in you. And Lord, we know that you are a faithful God. And now I pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon me, that I may teach your word clearly and accurately, and Lord, that your name will be magnified through the teaching of your word. I pray also, dear Father, that you will allow your spirit to come upon your people and to guide their minds into the truth that you have in store for them. Bless your people. Make your face to shine upon them. And Lord, let your favor be their portion too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Joshua is about Israel living as God's people in the promised land. The book of Joshua is essentially divided into two parts. And the first part is what we've already gone through, and that is the conquest. And the second part that we're going into is called the settlement. Now, I must admit that it is quite difficult to preach from the second part to you, particularly between chapters 12 to 20, where the whole story, the whole narrative is just about the allotment of the land to the people of Israel, clan by clan, tribe by tribe, and family by family. And so the land is allotted to the people of God in this way. And so, even though it is difficult, I am committed to preach God's word to you. And as I promised that I would preach from Joshua, that I will do so till the end of this book. I believe that today, when we look at chapter 13, we will be looking at a theme that speaks to the whole chapter 12 to chapter 20 portion. Now, that does not mean that this is the only sermon I'm going to preach from this whole text, but it is one certainly that I could find in chapter 13. And that theme is the theme of inheritance. My sermon title will be Inheritance, Physical and Spiritual. I repeat, Inheritance, Physical and Spiritual. And it is found in Joshua chapter 13, and we will read from the middle of verse 6 to verse 8, verse 14 and verse 32. And so please, let us read together in Joshua chapter 13. There in the middle of verse 6 and to 8 it says, "Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." Verse 8. "The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, had received the inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned it to them." Now please jump to verse 14, and then we will jump again to verse 32. But verse 14 says, "But to the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance, since the food offerings presented to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them." Now go to verse 32. "This is the inheritance that Moses had given when he was in the plains of Moab across the Jordan east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance, for the Lord, the God of Israel, is their inheritance, as he promised them." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Well, when I look at this text, I see that the word inheritance occurs in it 9 times. 9 times in this chapter we find the word inheritance. Then verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8, we find it appear a number of times. And then in verse 14, it appears twice. And also in verse 32, it appears 3 times, but in verse 23 also it appears once. So in total, the word inheritance appears 9 times in the chapter. And the reason why I'm preaching on this theme is because I believe that a word cannot be, recurring so often, so much, if it did not have a particular significance to it. And so I looked and I discovered that the word or the idea of inheritance here in the Old Testament generally is more about possession. More about possession than it is about the process of succession. Now, the process of succession actually means when a possession is passed from one generation to the next generation. But here in Joshua, that is not the idea. The idea is that it is becomes a possession. Your inheritance is your possession. And so in these verses, we see this word recurring, inheritance. Yeah, particularly in Joshua, from chapter 12 to chapter 20, it is about the allotment of land, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, to the people of Israel. And so, the allocation of land to the people of Israel actually makes them now a nation. You see, nationhood depends on a territorial space as well. And Israel had no land up until now, but now they have a land, and now they can truly be classified as a nation. Now, let's come back. I said that my sermon title is Inheritance, Physical and Spiritual. Well, if I was to have headings under this, I would have only 2 headings, and these are the headings that I will have. the land as an inheritance, physical and spiritual. Now just notice, I'm starting with the land, and I'm starting with physical, then spiritual. Then the second heading is the Lord as an inheritance. But this time, I am starting with spiritual, then physical. So in other words, both the land as an inheritance is physical and spiritual. And the Lord as an inheritance is spiritual and physical. And so that is how we are going to deal with this theme today. But let's first look at the land as an inheritance. That is found in verses 6 to verse 8. And we are, as we've read there, that two and a half portions of allocations went to two and a half of the tribes of Israel. And that happened while Moses was still alive on the east side of the Jordan. That is before the people of Israel came through the Jordan to the west side of the Jordan. And what they were fighting for on the west side of the Jordan, and the conquest is about that, they did so to find territory for each of the remaining 8.5 tribes. Now see, 2.5 tribes on the east, and those 2.5 tribes on the east were Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh. Now I'll explain the half tribe of Manasseh. And on the west side, where they had to go and conquest the area, we know that they allocated territory to Judah, they allocated territory to Simeon, then they allocated land to Ephraim and the half tribe of Manasseh together. And again, as I said, I will explain that to you. They allocated land to Benjamin, they allocated land to Zebulun, they allocated land to Issachar, then to Asher as well, and Naphtali, they allocated land to, and finally they allocated land to Dan. Now the half tribe of Manasseh, and the half tribe of Manasseh that is mentioned together with Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim were the sons of Joseph. So Manasseh and Ephraim were not heads of the 12 tribes, but instead they were the sons that represented Joseph for Joseph's portion. You'll see that in the allocation, Joseph's name is not mentioned. The names of Reuben, Gad, Judah, Simeon, Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan is not the full list, but those are only 10 names. The 11th name is Joseph's name, and the 12th name is Levi's name, and Levi did not receive any land or any territory in the land. So we see that 11 tribes with Joseph's tribe divided between Manasseh and Ephraim makes up Joseph's inheritance. And then we know that Levi did not receive land. Okay, now let's come to this idea of inheritance. 11 of the 12 tribes received an inheritance of land, but one tribe did not receive inheritance of land. Land was the gift of Yahweh to his people. It was a gift that came to his people. The people belonged to Yahweh, and the land was Yahweh's land as well. And Yahweh promised this land by covenant, the covenant that he had made with Abraham years before, that he will give his offspring land. And now this is coming to fulfillment that God promised that they will receive land. God promised Moses the same thing. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and I will take you to a land that flows with milk and honey for you to possess, the land of the Canaanites. And so these few chapters, and particularly chapter 13, is about the allotment or the allocation of the land to the 11 tribes, that is a tribe excluding the tribe of Levi. But you see, the reason why God gave them this land as a gift is because, one, as I said before, it makes them a nation. But secondly is, like most of the people in all of the world at that time, they were agrarian people. In other words, they lived off the land. They were dependent upon the land for their livelihood. And so Israel also would have been dependent on their livelihood from the land. Now, let's just go back a little. Remember when Israel came through the wilderness, the Bible says that God provided for them. In the morning, they received manna, and in the evening, they received quails. And for that whole 40 years, God provided for them in that way. Now, it was necessary that God provided for them in that way. Why? Because they were still in travel. They were moving from Egypt, the land of slavery, to the promised land. It took them 40 years between Egypt and the promised land. And so, because they were a migrating people, they could not work the land, they could not make food or plant food for themselves. And so God had to provide it during that whole time. But when they came to the promised land, the manna stopped. And God expected them to then take this gift of land for their own livelihood. They had to work the land. They had to work the land as God had instructed Adam, the first man, to work the land in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. In fact, even before the fall, man was to work the land, because from the land would come his livelihood. And I believe that the provision of land was a creation blessing. It was a creation blessing. And so therefore land is an important creation blessing, and an important blessing as well. But we also know that God promised through Moses that they will receive a land. They will receive a land that was flowing over with milk and honey. They will receive a land which was good. And so they were looking forward for this good land. Not only is the land which they received as a gift from God a creation blessing, but it was also now a redemptive blessing. And so Israel lived as a people of God, not like every other people, because every other people will have had their own lands. But now God gave them a land because He had also in mind for them a redemptive blessing. And so they were redeemed from Egypt, and they were taken to a land that their God would give them. And so through Yahweh's assistance, the land became their inheritance. The land became their possession. The land became that which belonged to them as a nation. The land was an integral part of Israel's identity and was an integral part of Israel's relationship with Yahweh. You see, Yahweh called them to be His people. And Yahweh provided land for them. And the relationship that they had with Yahweh would actually be reflected also in this land. You see, because the promises that are given to them of blessings and as well of cursings in Deuteronomy are based on what God would do in the promised land with the land upon their obedience or disobedience to the covenant relationship. They had a covenant relationship with God, and the land was going to be an integral part of Israel's identity and this relationship with Yahweh. Land was to be their source of wealth during times of peace. We know that they came to conquer this land. And when they conquered this land, they gained wealth through the plunder that they received. Now we know that the people of God, when they left Egypt, that the Egyptians gave them gold and silver and clothing and whatever they wanted, because the Egyptians just wanted them to leave. They said, take and go. And we're told in Exodus, and in this way, the Israelites plundered the Egyptians. I guess this was the way the Lord paid them for their slave labor for all those hundreds of years. So, the land came to them as a gift from God and was to be a source of their wealth during times of peace. But also, remember that even though the Lord gave them the land as a gift, the land was still the Lord's. The land belonged to Yahweh. The land belonged to the nation. The land belonged to the tribe. The land belonged to the clan. The land belonged to the family. So the whole identity of the whole people was now connected to this land and in their relationship with Yahweh. And that is maybe the main reason why the possession of the land is called an inheritance. It is something they received as a gift from Yahweh, and in this case, we know that He is their father. Not a father who can die. Not a father who has to die in order to have his inheritance pass over to them. But they were the sons and the children of God. And for this reason, because the land was Yahweh's, and the land was Israel's, and the land was the tribes, and the land was the clans, and the land was belonged to the family, the land could not be sold in perpetuity. In other words, they could not repeatedly sell the land till the land belongs to someone else forever. No. In fact, the land was always redeemable. The land was redeemable either by kin, family, or the land was redeemable by the Sabbath law. Because remember, after 50 years, they had to give back the land. And after 7 years also, they had to make the land lie fallow. But after the 7 times 7, which is 49 years, and in the 50th year, the land had to revert completely back to the original owners. And so, the land was given to God's people in this way. Now, every family or every clan had an allotment of land, and that was their inheritance. And from that inheritance, they had to divide that land among their children. So, if you had sons, you would divide them among your sons. If you had daughters, you would divide them among your daughters. But there were certain rules that were in place. The firstborn son always received a double portion of the property. But if there were no sons, the land would be divided among the daughters, but because there were no sons, the daughters who received land had to marry someone from the same tribe. Why? So that the land would remain the possession of the tribe. So, therefore, I come to the conclusion of this fact, that the land was an inheritance, but I have mentioned up until now that it was a physical inheritance. It is something that was tangible, it was something that is physical, was physical, and so, yes, it was a physical inheritance. But also, there was a spiritual aspect to it. And now we look at the spiritual aspect of the gift of the land as an inheritance. You see, in fact, the spiritual connotation of it comes out in this fact that the land is also called Yahweh's inheritance. Yahweh's inheritance. And this is so in a particular way. Please, let me refer you to three verses that makes this point. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 17, the Bible says, "You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established." In other words, the mountain of your inheritance, where the sanctuary will be established, and that your hands will establish, that is the inheritance of the Lord. Look at Joshua also, chapter 22 and verse 19. Listen to this one. "If the land you possess is defiled and comes over to the Lord's land, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, then the Lord will attack us all, or the Lord will punish us all." Well, we know that that happened in the case when they took the plunder that did not belong to them, and Achan hid it in his tent, and the whole nation suffered because of that. Thirdly, see what Psalm 79 and verse 1 says. "O God," this is after the exile to Babylon. "O Lord, O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance." Listen to this. "They have defiled your holy temple. They have reduced Jerusalem to rubble." And so we know that during the exile, the Babylonians came and they took possession of Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple and took all the silver and the gold and whatever came from the temple. And here the psalm writer is saying, "O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance." So this is what I am saying, that the inheritance of the land was also an inheritance to the inheritance of Yahweh. And this is what made it a spiritual inheritance. So, physically, it was an inheritance for the benefit of the people, but also it would become spiritually the dwelling place of God among His people. You see, God dwells where His people dwells. Let's go to the second heading. The first heading was the land as an inheritance. Now the second heading is the Lord as an inheritance. This won't take as long as did the first one, because that was a little more difficult. But here I am saying spiritual and physical. The Lord as an inheritance, spiritual and physical. Why? Because firstly, it is spiritual. The Levites were allotted no land. They did not receive land as did the other tribes, because they were to live among the other tribes. They were to live in with every tribe that had land, and God provided them cities to live among the people. Why? Because the Levites were chosen as the priestly tribe. They were not meant to work the land. They were not meant to till the land. No, they were meant to minister to God and to God's people. They were the priests. So, what do we have? We have a nation who is a priestly nation. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, Exodus tells us, "You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That is in reference to Israel. We know that Peter uses that same verse to refer to us as Christians. But in essence, the nation of Israel, the whole nation, is a priestly nation. And they were to be a priestly nation among the nations for the nations. But God chose from this priestly nation one tribe. And that tribe would be the priestly tribe. That was the Levitical tribe. And that is why God didn't give the Levites land, because they were the priestly tribe. And from that priestly tribe, the Levites, was chosen one family, the family of Aaron, from where the high priest would come. And so we see the nation was a priestly nation, the tribe Levi was a priestly tribe, and the family of Aaron was a priestly tribe, family in a special way. For the Levites, they had no land, but we are told that the Lord was their inheritance. The Lord was their inheritance. They did not have any land. Why? Because they had the Lord. And having the Lord for them meant that they did not need land. The whole nation didn't need land when they were moving through the wilderness. But as the land became an inheritance and a possession for the tribes of Israel, so the Lord became an inheritance for the tribe of Levi. The Lord is the inheritance. So the Levitical inheritance was first a spiritual one. Why? Because God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we know that God is a spirit. God could not be touched. God could not be possessed in a way, that land was possessed. So it was first a spiritual inheritance. But then also the Lord as their inheritance was a physical inheritance, but not in the same way as the land was a physical inheritance. So how so, you may ask? Because the Lord would provide for their physical livelihood. And we are told that the people's offerings, all the other tribes, the offerings that they would make, belonged to the Lord. And God said that though that what the people offers to Him will be used for the sustenance of the Levites. And so they had physical sustenance in that way. So therefore, in that way too, the Lord was a physical inheritance for them. The people's offerings that were made to the Lord consisted of sacrifices and of offerings and of tithes and of first fruits offerings that were made to the Lord. And the Levites were able to live from that. And so we see that because these things belong to the Lord, the sacrifices and the offerings and the tithes and the first fruits, they belong to the Lord. But God worked it out in such a way that they would become the portion of the tribe of Levi. The Lord's portion became the portion of the tribe of Levi. The Lord was the inheritance of these priests. I come now to conclusion. We are the people of God, and we live by faith. And as the people of God, we too have an inheritance which is both physical and spiritual. Yes, it is spiritual. Why? Because we who were no people have been made the people of God. And now we, as a people, belong to God. And that is the spiritual aspect. You see, God is our God, and we are His people. God is our Father, and we are His children. God is the one who is over us, protecting us, and praise God. That is the spiritual relationship that we have with God as Christians. But also, God provides for His people. As God provided for the Levites, God provides for His people. And I believe we are going through struggling times right now. We, as the people of God, even are also struggling as do the others. And we lose our jobs. We don't have what is needed all of the time. But I know that God provides for His people. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, why do you boast? What do you have which you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? You see, everything we have comes from the Lord. And if the world has much possessions, they received it from the Lord. But the difference between them and us is that they don't acknowledge the Lord. We do acknowledge the Lord, even for the little that He gives us. And so, we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, that the thanksgiving of the saints, the thanksgiving of God's people, redounds to the glory of God. When we give thanks, God is glorified. And so, people of God, I am encouraging you, for the little that you have, for the much that you have, give thanks to the Lord because He has given it to you. The living God is our portion. I like what the psalm writer says in Psalm 37 and verse 25. He says, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed, nor their children begging for bread. And as the people of God, we live with such confidence that our God will provide. But you see, more so, we, as the children of God, as the people of God, are all a priesthood. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And praise God that He has made us priests so that we can say that the Lord is our inheritance. And finally, we look forward not to an allocation of land here on the earth. We look forward not to an allotment of land, but we look forward to to that day when with the Lord Jesus Christ we will rule over all the earth. See, this is what Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says as I close. We look, you made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. That is speaking about us. And so we too, we have an inheritance, physical and spiritual, but mainly so because we've got a relationship with God. God is our inheritance. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord's face shine upon you. And may the Lord's favor be your portion. Be blessed, people of God. Love you. God bless.